Father, we thank you for these words, O come, Emmanuel, that Christ did come, born of a virgin, to be fully man, but also to be fully God, and begin the process of going to the cross. And Father, we just thank you for that gift, the gift of salvation and grace and mercy, which comes to us if we receive that. We just thank you for the opportunity to celebrate that at this time and every Sunday, truly. But we just praise you for this time and ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Welcome to just to worship the Lord, to be in God's house, to be with fellowship of the brethren. Luke chapter 1, if we turn to there, verses 5 through 38, and we're just going to read that passage. The announcement of the birth of John the Baptist, followed by the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ, and what that means to us. And the way I wanted to approach this as I was praying about it this morning, as I was trying to put this together, and at 3:45 this morning, my wife said, well, the ladies are doing a study on the Advent, and we're starting the Advent this week, and with today being faith, and then over the next 3 weeks we'll progress through the following pieces of that. But in looking, and as she said that, thinking about it, in what they're studying in the first book of Matthew is the lineage or the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and in there are four women that are noted: Rahab, Tamar, forgot the other two. What's that? Ruth and Mary, yes. But in looking at that, as you think about the birth of Christ, and as Jesus, or as God approached Mary with the upcoming birth of her son, Jesus Christ, what did that mean? And as we think about faith, and there were, faith was truly abundant in a lot of ways in this chapter, in Luke chapter 1, as we read. And so let's just go to that. Let's read verses, we're going to read verses 5 through 38. I mean, it's a long passage, but that's where I just really felt God leading me this morning. So, and it's page 1018 if you're in one of the pew Bibles. But in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. And the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." The people were waiting for Zacharias, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God in a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of situation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and you will be called and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, for it is holy and true, and righteousness comes from it. And we just ask that you speak to our hearts this morning and prepare us to commune with you, but also to have communion with you at the end of this. But just open our hearts as we open your word and open our minds to receive what you have for each of us at this time as we contemplate the birth of the Christ child and what that means. What does it mean to us individually in this day that we live, as it has down through the ages? We just ask for your grace to be extended and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. So looking at this, verse 7, Elizabeth and Zacharias, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, much like some other women that have been throughout the Old Testament up till this point. And they were seeking from God to have a child. Undoubtedly, Elizabeth was petitioning the Lord for that to happen, but so was her husband. He was petitioning God for that to happen as well. He was in this with her. And so as a couple, they were entreating God continuously, and they're waiting. And that's what faith is all about. It's a trying period. Are you willing to wait? And God sometimes puts us in difficult circumstances. or delays answers that we've been certain that he's called us to, but they've not come to fruition. And as I say that, a thought comes to my head. I can't count the number of missionaries or pastors that I've talked to over the years that have made a proclamation to a church that they were going to the mission field or they were going into the pastorate. And then it just seemed like nothing would happen. And an extended period of time would go by. I mean, maybe it's a year. Maybe it's 2 years. In my own case, I really felt God calling me to this 40 years ago. And it was just this past year that it becoming a pastor actually happened. But in the case of many missionaries, you know, I'm going to Africa or I'm going to China or whatever. And they, sometimes it's, yes, they need to raise support, but it's like things get put on hold. And I really think it's God's way of saying, are you serious? Are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to wait for me to move so that it's not your own pride, your own selfishness, your own motivation that you're wanting to go out and do those things? Are you truly willing to wait for me to direct your steps? And I think that's what God is doing here. It's obviously his timing. If Elizabeth would have had her child as a young woman, Mary's probably is not even born yet. So God has got to raise up Mary to her position, even though she's probably 15, 16 years of age at that time, as a young woman. So as God moves through this, and Elizabeth is wondering, she and her husband, when, Lord, is this going to happen? And finally, Gabriel brings the announcement and allows the blessing of John the Baptist to be born. And it's he, John the Baptist, that will go before Christ to proclaim the one that is to come. The song that we sang, O come, Emmanuel. If you go back to Isaiah, where it lays out that where Christ would be born and that his name would be Emmanuel. So God is bringing that Old Testament prophecy into play and into fruition and completion as he's preparing for the way of the Christ child to come. And then he goes on to Mary. In verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. That word favored is the word, the Greek word charituo, which means to make graceful, to endow with grace, to favor with grace. So she is obviously a very godly woman. That she doesn't know what God has in store for her. But as she continues to be faithful in just serving her Lord as a young woman, God then bestows upon her. And think about being a young woman at that age and God showing up and saying, I am going to give you a child. And she's like, how can that be? And think about what that means in this time, in this society in which she's living in. The fear and trepidation that has to be in her heart. Because if Joseph doesn't fulfill his duty, what lies ahead for her? Because as a young woman, becoming pregnant, it's to be stoned to death. And so for her, in saying, as she says that at the end of this, yes, Lord, I am your bond slave. Whatever you say is, be it done to me as you wish it to be. And last week, Mark talked about that word, bond slave. And we also talked about other interpretations of what the word slave meant in this time for the nation of Israel and in the world. But put yourself in her shoes and the fear that has to be there. And as she waits upon God, and then as God meets with Joseph and the challenge to him, because now he's got to step up and fulfill his role as a husband in being the husband to her and to keep her as a virgin and holy until the child is born. I mean, he could walk away. I mean, God already knows what these two are going to do, but yet still, they had a choice that they could fulfill. And that she would bear a son whose name was Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. The song we sang this morning, What Child Is This? And think about the words to that, that he is the Christ child. He is the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Holy One who is to come and who will bear our sins upon the cross. And in Revelation 13, 8, where God talks about the cross was founded, the cross was formed before the foundation of the world was laid. So this has been planned from the very beginning. And so it's in process. And several thousand years of history have taken place up till this. But God is now moving to bring the Savior of the world. So Jesus, what child is this? The Son of the Most High, verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And that verse, and in conjunction with Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, have caused people a lot of perplexed over the years. Because how can Jesus' father give him the throne of his father, David? Because he is of the lineage, as we talked about, the ladies were studying the genealogy of Christ. It is the lineage of David. But God is ultimately the father of both. And so, yes, through Mary, in the line of David, Christ would be born. And he would receive the throne, but it would be the throne of his father, God. And he will reign forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Verse 33 is what that just says. And then Mary asked the question, how can this be? Since I am a virgin, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, in verse 35. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child, the sinless one, will be called the Son of God. That's what holy means in that context. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. The virgin birth that is giving rise to that. So she's perplexed, but her faith and what God is going to carry out is solid. She believes. The perplexed part is she's like, I don't get it. I believe you, Lord, but I don't understand how this is going to happen. And we all are in that. When you're truly confronted with an issue of faith like this, it's, we don't understand because God is doing things bigger than our comprehension. A couple weeks ago, I preached on the crisis of faith. Whenever faith presents itself, whenever God comes to you, there is a crisis of faith. What are you going to do with it? We're in Exodus, and you take Exodus forward into Deuteronomy when the tribes get to Kadesh Barnea, and they're standing at the southern boundary, and God tells them to cross over. And they're like, no, we want to send in spies. They failed the crisis of faith at that point because they chose to go a different route than what God was leading them into. And so their crisis of faith ended up in their dying in the desert over the next 40 years. The crisis of faith here for Mary is you are to be the mother of Christ. And she accepts that. May it be done to your bondslave as you wish it to be. And I'm paraphrasing there. But she's saying, yes, I don't understand how that's going to work, but I trust you, God, in what you're doing. And Elizabeth did as well. Zacharias didn't. And he paid for the next 4 months, 3 months, as a mute, even though God restored him, restored his voice, and he kept his position as a priest. But yet his lack of faith brought that on. Joseph's acceptance of what was to happen, he accepted in faith what God was calling him to, and so he stepped up and took Mary as his wife to protect her, because he could have easily said no. And so what do we do with that? How does faith play out in our lives when God calls you in some way? Maybe it's a simple serving at the share house, or maybe it's witnessing to someone, or working with somebody at the rec center and helping them and being an assistant to them. And I'm talking about Dave helps a guy where he works out. And all of us have those relationships that we touch. And how do we respond to that if God presents that opportunity? Do we step out in faith and say yes? And like Mary, I don't know how this is going to work out, but God, I've got to trust you that you do, and let him go with it. And he will lead you in that way. But it's being faithful in that moment of when the crisis comes, what do you do with it? Hebrews 10:38, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So do we accept that challenge that God lays out before us in faith? Hebrews 1:1-3, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he, God, is the radiance of his, or in Christ is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And so the mission that was given to Christ, because going back and just summarizing Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God, even though when things look their darkest, God shows up. In Luke 1:38, Mary's response, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." Can we say that? Do we live that? Do we believe that? Do we follow that? No matter what the cost. And you can think down through the ages of history. And as I say that, Dietrich Bonhoeffer comes to mind. At the end of World War II, as he sat in prison under Hitler because he refused to follow what the nation of Germany was doing. And he continued to preach the gospel and to speak out about the things that were being done. And Hitler imprisoned him. And then just within weeks before the end of World War II, which he would be set free, he was executed for his faith because he never wavered in what God called him to do. He was faithful to the end, just as Mary was. May it be done to me as a bond slave of the Lord, as it would to you.